I'm excited to speak about what the Lord has put in my spirit and my heart, because it's a word that I've been feeling, but I haven't been able to put into words. And when I got this from the Lord, I thought, yeah, this is what I've been feeling all along. So, but we all know it's not just enough to hear a good word, right? I mean, Pastor John, Pastor Don, Bob, Kenny, John, anybody could be up here and give a good word, and we'd say, man, that was a good word. But what good is it to get that word and do nothing with it, right? I mean, we get caught up. We leave here, we're on fire, but then, you know, the daily things come in, work, stuff. And then before you know it, that word's coming left, right? And that word that the Lord planted in us, which was meant for bigger and greater things, gets left to the wayside. So the Lord put on my heart that we have to act upon this word. Today especially, because I just feel on fire. I'll tell you right now, I've been jittery all morning. I told Matthew, I said, man, I pulled my check, my tie check out. I go, it's doggone wet. It's wet from sweat. And it's not like it's real hot in here. I just feel it was the Holy Spirit. I could really feel it through the worship. I mean, our worship team was on point today. I could just feel His presence. And I'm excited that I'm up here today to share what I really believe that the Lord put on my heart. So what we need to do, church, is we have to apply it and then act upon it in our own lives first, right? Because the Lord's given it to us for a purpose. And it's not just to hoard it. You know, Jesus was our commander-in-chief, amen? And He told us to what? Go out into the world and what? Share the good news. And God's Word, no matter what, you open this book, no matter what, it's good news, amen? I don't care if you're in the Old Testament and speaking about history. That's stuff that really happened, so that's a good thing. And we get into the New Testament, and we see Jesus perform all these miracles, the Son of Man's here on the earth performing all this stuff, and that was great news too. And the thing of it is, He told us that greater things you will do than I. And we have to believe that. But, again, it starts with what? The Word of God. When we get the Word of God, we can't just sit on it. We got to put it into action. You know, we always say, well, God's always about love. Yeah, that's nice. But love is an action word. It's an action word. Right? I mean, I could say I love my wife all day, but if I don't do anything, it's nothing. You know what I mean? Did that give me some brownie points, honey? I saw that big grin over there. Yeah. Now, here it goes. You know, I know every time I get up here, like Pastor John said, look, I got this thing down to a T, but the Holy Spirit comes in and He just messes it all up. You know, He's trying to break me from that OCD. But you know, against my better judgment, I told my wife, we've had dogs all our lives. All our lives. And I love dogs. But I'm coming up on retirement. And I told her, I don't want no more dogs. I want to be able to travel. You know, I want to travel. And I don't want to get a dog and get close to it, and then you got to board it. You know, or you got to ask somebody, hey, are you watching my dog? Where's Jacob at? Jacob in here? I think he's watching Ray Carmen's dog. I don't want to steal him, you know. But anyways, I really seeked out the Lord, and He put it on my heart to get her a dog. So I went and bought my wife a dog. And my boss, I asked if I could get off early Friday. I said, boss, can I get out of here early Friday? He goes, for what? I go, I got to go to Jackson. He goes, go to Jackson for what? I go, well, I'm buying my wife a dog. He goes, what? He said, didn't you tell me that your wife just fell down the stairs a couple times with her MS? I go, yeah. He goes, well, what do you think she's going to do with a dog running around her feet? She's going to trip over the dog, which she has twice already. This dog is so active. It's all in and out of her feet, and she's talking to me like tripping over the dog. And well, I told her, I got to go tell him he was right. But, no, I did that, and, you know, because I wanted to show my wife that I do love her and I do care about what she wants as well. It's not all just about me, right? And see, that's the way I figure the Lord is. When He gives us His Word, yeah, it's for us, but it's not for us to hoard it. I think the Lord wants us to receive it, chew on it, use it in our lives, but also to share it with others. Amen? So today, my message is entitled, God Has Called His Warriors to Proclaim His Glory in Battle. Because, you know, that's the church theme this year, is proclaiming God's glory. And Kim was up here just a minute ago, proclaiming God's glory. Amen? Her brother was healed of cancer. I know my pastor sitting there was healed from cancer. God is real. God can do things. Amen? So I thought about that word that he gave me, and I was like, wow, that's awesome. His warriors are going to proclaim his glory in battle. So, we might sit there and think to ourselves, well, his warriors. Well, who are his warriors? Well, we know we are the sons and daughters of God, right? We know that much. And yes, we have different callings on our lives. Pastors, elders, we got intercessors, right? We got encouragers, we got prophets, we got missionaries, right? And we also have different professions to speak, so to speak, that we perform daily. Now, Tom, I'm going to need this. Is this on? Bear with me just for 1 second. I want to do something here. Can you hear me? There we go. All right, I'm just going to do it real quick. Pastor John.
Yes.
What is your profession?
Pastor. Thank you.
Fred, what is your profession?
Concrete.
Concrete. Construction worker. Yeah. Let me see. No, we know you don't work. Luce, what is your profession?
Secretary.
Kenny.
Maintenance.
Marty.
Utility worker.
Utility worker. Mike.
Technician.
All right, so we see, we have, Bob, I'm not asking you because we know you don't work. No. You have no profession. Okay, so we see, and myself, I'm an auto worker, okay? So we all have many professions in life, amen? Oh, Kim, I'm sorry, I meant to get you. Hairdresser, right? Owner, business. With that being said, do we got the video, Elma? Thank God. Thank you, Ricardo. I'm going to show a video right now. It's only a minute long. Now, oh, where's Ray? Ray, if I was going to show a video, think with me, brother. What video would I use talking about warriors? 300! For anybody that hasn't seen that movie, it's an awesome movie. Now, there are two bad parts in it. But other than that, it's a great movie. It's a true story. So what's happening is Persia right now, in this time in the movie, is evil, and they're going out and they're conquering the world. They're killing all these kings, taking over their land. Well, they're coming up on Greece. And so we know the Spartans live there. And Spartans, their profession, they were just warriors. I mean, I know it sounds horrible, but if their kids weren't perfect, they killed them. Because Spartans were like just this mean, lean fighting machine. And their neighboring country was the Arcadians. So they're coming together to go fight the Persians, right? Okay, go ahead and show the clip, Alma.
Turn it up. This morning, scrolls across the United States. This is a surprise.
Silence. We heard Sparta was on the warpath. We were eager to join forces.
If it is blood you seek,
you're welcome to join us. But you bring only this handful of soldiers against Xerxes? See, I was wrong to expect Sparta's commitment to at least match our own.
Doesn't it? You, there. What is your profession?
I'm an author.
And you, Arcadian, what is your profession?
Sculptor, sir.
Blacksmith. Spartans! What is your profession? See, old friend, I brought more soldiers than you did.
Whew, I get goosebumps. Whew. Now, do you understand that? See, the Arcadians weren't really fighters. The one guy was a sculptor. The one guy was a potter. The other guy was a blacksmith. And they seen that they had a couple thousand guys in Sparta. They show up with 300 dudes. It's like, really? But see, all those 300 dudes, that's all they were, was warriors. And so, what I wanted to share with you is the bottom line, we are warriors first. Get that in your mind, please. We are warriors first. That is our profession, church. Hallelujah. God has called us to be warriors. Yeah, pastors, elders, deacons, but we're called to be warriors. In Psalms 144, 1 and 2, it says, "Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me." And again in Psalms 18:39 it says, "You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me." God has called us to be warriors for his kingdom. Man, I get excited to hear that. I can recall a couple years ago, Keith Tusey was here, and I remember he did a men's breakfast. And I don't remember the exact title of his message, but one thing he said, and it just pierced my heart, and it's been with me to this day, is that he said, we were created by God to be warriors for the kingdom. And that has never left me. It's just the way it hit me. It's like, wow, I never thought about that. We're called to be God's warriors. Also, when he was here just recently, he spoke to the young adults at a meeting, and he said that Christ had bought us at a price. And that price was very, very expensive. He bought us with his life. And that hit me hard, too. I was like, wow. And he said, so therefore, Jesus owns us and everything we have. That also includes our very lives. So, sometimes, you know, God calls upon us, right? And we're like, I don't know. Are you sure, God? Like, he doesn't know, Bob. We were speaking about that today. Are you sure? Of course. God don't make mistakes. Bob was teaching today in class that he provides, but he does it way in advance. It's not at that moment. It's something God has already planned out. So all of you here that have given your lives over to Christ, from the moment you were conceived, you were meant to be warriors for the kingdom. There's no getting out of it. Like, you got drafted. You didn't have a choice. You couldn't run over to Canada. You can't run and hide. You're called to be a warrior. Whether you like it or not, you're in the army now. And that's the way it is. Now, some people can take that and say, oh, I don't know, man. Being a warrior, you know, that's a lot. I can get hurt. I have to step out, you know, sometimes on my own. That's what the Lord has called. That's what we do. This life we lead is full of battles. Daily, nonstop attacks from the enemy on our faith. And always continuous. Never going to break. And as Christians, our fight is against the powers of this world that the enemy uses on us to persistently try and call us or pull us away from God. Amen? He puts the luxuries and cares of this world in our face to try and draw us away from God. We have to be on guard for that. It's so easy to get entangled. Amen? Why? Because the flesh likes the things of the world. Right? It likes a new car, new boat, new house, new that. And it's not that those are wrong things, but when those things start coming before the Lord, when those things start coming before your battles, because you were called to be a warrior first, then there's something wrong. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." A roaring lion. You know, I was going to bring in my lion, but thanks to Sammy over there, Mr. Samson over there, he killed that thing. I don't think it ever recovered, man. He jumped on the ground and gave it that flying Hulk Hogan smash. His head's like this now. Don't even stay straight. Thanks, Sammy. I think he went over and above the Call of Duty, bro. But it was great. Yeah, right up here. The good news is that the Lord has equipped us for battle. He isn't going to send us out there to get slaughtered. This is the army of God. This is His army. It's not going to lose. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." God has called us, and He's going to give you everything you need. Everything. Even His Son got in on it. Luke 10:19 says, this is Jesus talking, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." That was Jesus talking. Come on now. He gave us authority. And where did He get the authority from? His Father. All the weapons we will need to be successful are at our disposal. Everything you will need. 2 Corinthians 10:4. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." And that's what we were praying upstairs today. That we would get on the ball. And this is for everybody, including myself. That we need to get on the ball and start demolishing strongholds. I'm tired of hearing about how all the Muslims are getting their way with everything around here. It's unbelievable. I had a truck driver. I worked for General Motors, and it was a truck driver. He pulled his cab up outside the dock, and I just so happened to be walking by the dock, and we got the little windows, and I looked out there, and I saw the cab door open, and I'm like, "What's this guy doing here?" And he went down, he threw his rug down, took his shoes off, started praying. I took authority. I don't know, Bob. I don't know all the logistics. I don't know why I could have gotten in trouble there, but I became GM spokesman. I went out there and told him, "Hey, that's not allowed here. This is private property. Can't do that here." He looked at me funny, and he put his shoes back on, put his rug back in the truck, and left. I'm going to take hold of that stronghold. I don't want you praying to Allah right outside where I work. I don't want to see it. I'm sorry, but that's that warrior mentality. Get out. Not here, buddy. This is General Motors. Stands for God's Manufacturing. Oh. When we put on the full armor of God and use the sword of the Spirit, which is what? What's the sword of the Spirit? The Word. The Word of God, then, in Ephesians 6, 11b through 12 says, you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're in a spiritual battle here. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I didn't care that I offended that guy. You're offending me. And I'm a child of the Most High God. I don't know who you're serving, buddy, but I'm serving God. I don't want that here. Get out. That's it. Go ahead, laugh it up, Charlie. And this was a bonus. You know, Pastor, I love when you I don't want to say it like this, but you make me do a teaching. It's the fact of the matter is that you got to get into that word and you got to delve into it, right? You can't just read something and throw it on a page. You really got to think about it, eat it, digest it, and say, yeah, wow. Well, I found out that we get another added, what I like to call, a heavenly super weapon in our arsenal that is our Heavenly Father, our Commander-in-Chief. He goes before us in battle. What? God goes before us in battle. We're not alone. It's not, I mean, it's not great enough. We got a good daddy. It's not great enough that he gives us everything we need. He's like, come on, son. Come on, daughter. I'm going with you. We're going to fight this together. Now, everybody knows, I wish Roger would have been here. Everybody knows that that somehow or some way, I can't do a message without mentioning my boy, David. Got to do it. David has become king of Israel at this time, and the Philistines are gathering to attack him for a second time. They tried once. He went to the Lord. The Lord said, I'll deliver them into your hands. He destroys the Philistines. They come back with another group. And David inquires to the Lord, and the Lord responds to him in 2 Samuel 5:24. This is the Lord speaking. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike down the Egyptian or the Philistine army. Are you serious? I started trying to get a vision of that. I mean, here's David with his men all lined up just like outside of a forest, right? Because there was trees there. The Lord says, wait. Wait till you hear me marching through the trees. He got to actually hear God march right by him. Strike the Philistines, and then he came in to clean up. That's our daddy going before us in battle. Woo! Man, come on, man. That don't excite you, brother. Hear God go by you marching. I'm thinking he's got like a legion of angels, man. God and a legion of angels going before you to fight. I mean, you know, David could have got cocky and said, hey, I only need 20 of you, man. God's got this, man. Just go around and stab everybody that's still living on the ground. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. God is with us. He's not in the business for failure. He's in the business of success. And so you ask, well, if the Lord's going to go before us and fight the battle, then why do we got to go? Why? Because he wants to build us up. Right? How many times when you pray for somebody, and you know it's not you, but you're allowing God and the Holy Spirit to work through you, right? You're just that vessel. And you pray for somebody and you see them healed. Does that not strengthen you? Does that not build your confidence and your spirituality? Like, ooh, God used me, man. I want to do it again. And I want to do it again. You know, I give kudos to my wife. She's... I love you, babe. She's a warrior, all right, boy. She wants to go out and conquer the world by herself. You know? One minute she's like, oh, those people need to go back to their own country, wearing that garb and all this and that. And then the next moment she's like, you know, they need the Lord, Eddie. I think this is going to be a great program. We can reach out to them. And I'm like, what? It's like Dr. Jekyll, we must hide. It's like, one minute she's got the sword out, ready to chop their head off, and that's like, oh, pobrecita. Whatever. Whatever the way. I'm not gonna question, right? You go with it, honey. These scriptures I read you, they're uplifting and confidence building scriptures, yet, with most of us, and I'm including myself, depending on the size of the enemy or the problem before us, we can become doubtful, which can make us unsure. Even after I just like read those scriptures, sometimes we can still become doubtful and unsure. And once we become unsure, then fear can set in. And once fear sets in, then we become on the defensive. Instead of where God wants us, which is the offensive. God wants us on the move. That's one thing I like. I don't know if you guys ever seen that movie Patton. Talking about George Patton, the general. He said, I never want to pay for territory with blood more than once. There was no retreat in that guy. He would go down to the last man, but he was going to take what he was out destined to do. If you read up on him, he was an awesome general, really. There was no retreat in his bones at all. He always thought that we were the superior force. God's army is the superior force. There was no retreat in that man. There should be no retreat with us. We should be moving forward. Constantly moving forward. We need to put the devil on his heels, not us on our heels. Why do we got to back up to the enemy? Shouldn't. I mean, I just read you that God's with us. He gave us everything we need. Why would we be going back? Why? Because we let the devil come up here and mess with our brain. You know? Now, I know from personal experiences, our pastors have encouraged us on more than one occasion to memorize some scriptures, which we all know is the Word of God, and press into them when you feel these things coming, rather than have it overtake you. You know, and I wrote down just a couple here that I love. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 31b says, if God is for us, who can be against us? God, that's powerful. God is for us, who can be against us? Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, nothing. 1 John 4, 4b says, the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the earth. We got God. Nothing can beat us. Nothing. Now, can we get wounded in battle? Sure. We're not robots. But God will be there to pick you up. God will give you what you need. I give you everything you need to be victorious. We don't need to beat ourselves up when we fall short. There is no fear or worry that God doesn't understand. We can't hide from God. We can't hide our feelings or our heart. Only God can judge a heart. He sees the wars that rage within us, and He has an endless supply of strength for us. So when you feel yourself getting wounded or you feel yourself getting weak, you need to press into the Lord. He's going to restore you. He's your refuge. Through His Word, we can learn how to face those who oppose us without fear or doubt, and thus rising above anything or anyone that we are threatened by. Fear is not of God. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Let me read that again. This is the Lord. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Deuteronomy 21 says, when you go out to battle against your enemies, and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, so you feel that you're at a disadvantage. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. The Lord is with you. I just got quick two little examples here. Gideon, you remember Gideon? He was the least of the nations, of the tribes. And I think he had an army of 20,000 maybe, I think. I was reading real quick. And God made him shrink that army down, right? Because when he went into battle, he didn't want the people to think that it was those men, right? God wanted the people to know it was him that went out before them. So he shrunk his army down to, what number, Ray? 300. Isn't that ironic? 300. And I read deeper and found out that he was going against an army of 135,000. Now tell me that wouldn't be scary when you looked at that. You got 300 dudes, they got 135,000. Yet God went before them, and they slaughtered them. They slaughtered them. Then my boy David, got to mention him one more time. 1 Samuel 17:48. Bob was speaking about it. I thought you were stealing my teaching this morning, Bob. About David going to fight Goliath. He's the only one that stood up for God's whole army. But why did, you know, I started thinking, Bob got me thinking today. When you delve into that, why do you think David, who was just a boy at the time, right? I mean, I don't know his exact age, maybe 13, 14, 15. A boy. And these guys that were in the army of Israel, they were seasoned warriors, right? And yet there over there was Goliath. A 9-10 foot man. Which, I mean, yeah, that would look scary, man. He had all that armor on and this and that. But why do you think David wasn't afraid? Well, yeah, God, but why? What did God do? He made him a warrior, but did not God use the prophet to make a promise over David? What was David promised? He was going to be king. Now, see, that's a boy. That received a word from God through the prophet that he was going to be the next king of Israel. Now you want to talk about holding on to Scripture. We got a whole Bible to hold on to. It's the same thing. It's the word of God. He heard the word of God through the prophet that he was going to be the next king of Israel. So you wonder, well, how was he able to defeat a lion? How was he able to defeat a bear? Because he had that confidence in God, knowing that if you promised me that I'm going to be the king, the next king of Israel, I'm not going to die to this lion. And I'm not going to die to this bear. And I certainly am not going to die to some uncircumcised Philistine giant. I don't care how big he is. And he just used a sling and a stone. A sling and a stone. We need to have that confidence. Word of God is truth. You know, I don't know why I keep going back to this, but I remember when Don and I had the senior youth, and we would share all these stories. And I used to tell the kids, you know what? You got to believe that this book is real. If you cannot believe that this book is real, and I hate to tell you this, but you're not saved and you don't know God. This is not Aesop's fables here. I used to tell them that. This ain't Aesop's fables. When God said he parted the Red Sea, he parted the Red Sea. There's nothing impossible for God. Like Bob was sharing this morning, you can't put limits on God. He's limitless. Is he not limitless? Cancer didn't even stand in his way. Nothing stands in his way. If Ray Maldonado was here, that's another story. That guy walked in that door and was thinking about suicide that same day. But God spoke to my wife. We didn't know them then. This guy had tattoos over here, the demon on the back of his head. I'll pray over that, boy. I thought it was real. It was manifesting. Woo! Get some oil. But that man was contemplating suicide that day. If he was here, he would share. And Donna came up to me after church and she said, "Eddie, the Lord gave me a word to give to that man." I said, "Well, then you need to be obedient and go give him the word." He goes, "Well, I don't want to go by myself." I said, "Well, I'll go with you. I'll go with you." And she gave him that word. And I don't know what it is, you know, but it was basically along the lines of, "I know what you're thinking of, and don't do it. I got plans for you." Our God is limitless. He stopped death. He's using us for battle. Guess what? Our supply is what? Limitless. You know, that's what stopped Germany from winning the war. Hitler stretched that army so far, what was wrong? Too thin. They couldn't get no supplies. They ran out of supplies. Those poor guys got out into Russia and half of them froze to death. They had no food, no clothes. Their tanks ran out of oil. But God's not like that. God's limitless. No matter where you are in this world, He's there. He'll give you everything you need. In closing, I pray that we take away from this message today, church, is that we proclaim God as our greatest protector. He will protect you. That we are His warriors in battle. No matter how big or small the enemy or problem seems to look, that we hold up the troubles against His truth and know that we are shielded from the worries of fear that can so often defeat us. God is our refuge. He's our shield. I read that. He will protect you. He'll never give you more than what you can bear. Our loudest battle cry should always be one of praise to our Lord for His love, His grace, His mercy, and His promises to protect us. And I want to end with a scripture and a song. My last scripture is this, and I love Isaiah. Isaiah 41, 10 and 11 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish." Trust me, church, when the Lord puts you out there like that, He's not going to leave you or forsake you. If we stumble and fall, more times than not, it's our own doing. It's not what the Lord had planned. But He will be there to pick you up. You know, you just got to get up, wipe the dust off, and move on. We need to be relentless. That dog I bought today is relentless. That puppy just won't stop. I bought a boxer. And they said, "Yo, you know, boxers, man, they're very athletic. They're very energetic." Woo, they weren't kidding. But my wife, she's very happy. I'm so glad that I was able to bless her. You know, but anyways, warriors. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I know some relatives of Alma. Alma's not sure. Every time she says it, she tells me she's cousin, then he's nephew. I don't think, are you really related to her?
Oh, all right. All right. Go. Look at these warriors. Man.
Marine.
Woo!
I can smell them.
two Marines.
Amen. All right.
So these guys are warriors. So go ahead, turn around, just take a moment and pray for these two.
Yes.
Thank you.
Father, we want to thank the
Lord, yes, Lord God,
for both of these young men. Lord, we know that they are going in the military, Lord God. They are, Father, they are sacrificing their private life.
Yes.
Lord God, to go into the military to fight for this country, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, we know that, Lord, you appreciate warriors.
Yes.
Father, so we want to ask your blessing and your protection.
Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Use them, Lord.
Give them favor, Lord God, in whatever part of the military, whichever jobs they have, Lord God. Give them favor.
Yes.
Protect them as they get out on the field, even wherever they are.
Put your favor upon them, Lord.
There's accidents that happen. There's different things that happen. But protect them. Keep them safe. Bring them home when their tours are done.
Yes, Lord.
Bring them home safe to their family and friends.
Yes, Lord God.
Bless them abundantly, Lord God. Mm-hmm. And Father, we pray that you would act, that you would use them.
Yes, Lord,
Lord
God.
Just as Eddie was talking about today, use them as not only as warriors in the world sense, but warriors in the Christian sense, Lord God.
Yes.
Give them opportunities to speak about Jesus Christ. Yes.
Amen.
Help them to get involved with other soldiers to to help them to learn about Jesus Christ, Lord God. Let them see that their true mission really is to be a warrior for you.
Amen.
In all that they do, Lord.
Amen.
Bless them abundantly in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Man, that's awesome. Okay, I just wanted to end with this song. You got the song, Elma? Elma, you're the bomb. So is Ricardo. I thought this was fitting.
Truth keeps us.
Next time I'll bring a boombox. All right, well, let's go ahead and play. Close in prayer. But remember, we are God's warriors. He's with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. There's no problem too big that we can't handle with our Father going before us in battle. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just pray, Lord, for this word today, Lord God. I pray that we would take it, we would run with it, we would apply it and act upon it in our lives, Lord. But most of all, Lord God, that we would share it with others, Lord. I just pray blessings and protection on all of us here. Bless the donuts upstairs, Lord, and our fellowship. And we just thank you for the opportunity to be your warriors, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Oh, prayer team. Could I have the prayer team? I'm sorry. Got fired up, man. All this warrior stuff. There's prayer if you need prayer. Believe.